Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
It is so refreshing to have the ability to give God thanks. Because we have to make the opportunity. Circumstances don't always make us feel like giving thanks. But we don't wait for a feeling. We just have a thought. The thought is God good? The answer is yes. And my response is, Lord, thank you. That's all I got to say, thank you. So the topic today is five good things that happen when you give thanks. Say five good things that happen when I give thanks. This will bless you. Amen. Thanksgiving is the most appropriate holiday. That and Christmas, those are real holidays. You know, we came out of Halloween. I keep hoping one day it'll go away and folk will forget about it, but it keeps coming around. They keep, you know. But a real holiday, you can do it every day. And you won't look ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? If you do Halloween, the day after Halloween, you look ridiculous, okay? But you can give thanks every day. In fact, we've been giving thanks every day since last year. Because for us, Thanksgiving is a great holiday, but for most of us, it is a lifestyle. And so everybody knows it's Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is used, you know, for family time. It's, of course, preparation for the day after. It's called Black Friday. And I was so surprised a couple of years ago. I have a calendar on my devices, my laptops and iPads and phone. And it gives me a list of holidays. And a couple of years ago, Black Friday showed up as a holiday. It's a holiday now. I like, okay, all right. So no, it's not a holiday. We're going to give thanks because God has made us glad, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So there's five things I want to talk to you about. Let me get right into it. Five good things that happen when you give thanks. Number one, giving thanks helps you reconnect with your foundation. Say Thanksgiving. Or say giving thanks helps me reconnect with my foundation. A firm foundation makes other things possible. Think about that. You know, we've all had experience maybe of camping, and we put a tent out there and we'll camp and you know, put sleeping bags out on the floor and stuff on the ground, and it's fun, but you don't want to live like that. Because if it rains, if it gets stormy, that tent, that little ground foundation is going to be a problem with you trying to live on the ground, obviously. What you really thank God for is your home, your house, your apartment, where there's a foundation and that can survive storms and winds. I mean, so think about that. Foundation is key. So I say, when I say here, give thanks, helps you reconnect to your foundation. Think about it, because when you're thanking God, thanking him for what? You're thanking God for the best things in your life. You're thanking God for the foundations that make every other thing possible. Now, let me share this thought with you also from Ezra. Ezra 3 verse 11 says, it says, Israel, and they sang responsively. That is, the priests would lead, the people would follow. They sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. It says, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, in context, they were about building the temple. And they were glad to see the foundation going in because it said this: we've been wandering through the wilderness in temporary dwellings, putting up the tent of Moses or the tent of Israel, you know, pulling it down and, you know, folding it up, and the priests carry it to the next destination. They had come to a place now being able to have their homeland, to build something with a foundation. They were so happy before the building went up. They were shouting about just the foundation going in. Because the foundation going in meant if the foundation's in, we can build on it. We can dwell here. We can stay here. We're no longer transient. We have now a home. Now, when I thank God, my mind always goes to foundational things. Foundations like, of course, you know, family, education, health. I mean, there are things that are just foundational. Some things come and go. You know, I've never given God praise for my car. Oh, thank you for that car. My cars. You know why? Cars are not foundational. Cars that come and go, they're a headache. You know what I'm saying? I hate shopping for a car. You know, it's just a hassle, man. I don't, oh, thank you. No, I thank God for transportation. That's foundational. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? My point is, when you thank God, it reconnects you to foundational things. If you think about it, it's true. And it's interesting, if we are not in the Thanksgiving lifestyle, then we don't have a sense of firm foundation. So we'll go into this deeper. Psalm 100, verse 4, the psalmist said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." You know, David understood this principle of praise and giving thanks as part of foundation. And so when you are a worshiper, when you are a praiser, you're a person connected with foundational things. So get a hold to that. And so we say the words thank you, but we're actually thanking God for specific things. We're thanking God for people, thanking God for God himself. You believe that? In Matthew 7:24, again, talking about how giving thanks reconnects you to the foundation. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on a rock." There's two parts of the story. The story is about that two men built the house. The house looked the same. Two houses both looked the same. One house was built on the ground with no foundation, and one guy dug deep and laid a foundation and built the house on that. Both houses looked great. They were wonderful until the storm came. And the difference was the one man came to Jesus. They both came to Jesus. They both heard what he said. One man did what he said and one man did not. That's the only difference. Amen. Right? So the man who came, heard, and did is like the man who built on the foundation. And so it's not if the rain gonna come. It isn't if the flood will rise. It's a matter of when. And so no matter how beautiful things may look on the outside, if the foundation's not there, the storm is going to show it. Yeah. So we give thanks to God. We are reconnecting to our foundation. We are thanking God that we have been given grace to build on the rock. We've dug deep. We're not just on the surface in the shallow. We're not shallow people. Amen. We're people who are going deep into Christ, deep into issues of character, because we want to survive the storm. You know, winter's coming, y'all. Amen. Right? People say, "I love fall." I want, listen, here it is. I figured it out. You like the colors. Because, listen, it's going to be fall when it starts snowing. It was fall last week at 25 degrees. It was fall. Yeah. It's going to be fall until December 21st something. So what you like is you like the feeling of the colors. Because the problem with fall is winter follows. That's my problem with fall. But the thing is, though, but fall give us a season to prepare. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so we've already made calls. I'm calling somebody else to come, you know, plow the parking lot. The guy we had last year tore the lot up. Fired him. Tore it up, man. So we're going to hire somebody else. The point is, we're already doing that, see? We're not going to wait until the snow falls to call somebody to plow the lot. We already have had, thank God, they've got the roof replaced and hallelujah, all that stuff been done. We got a plumber coming on Wednesday to fix all the plumbing stuff in the building. See? So, you know what it is, you don't wait around. You get somebody to come and clean the gutters out of your house, right? You got, because it's called winterizing. Now listen, it sounds like it's not connected, but it is connected. When you give thanks, when you are a person of thanksgiving, you think about these things. It's amazing how when I'm giving God thanks, He reminds me of stuff while I'm thanking Him. Amen. I get ideas about important issues while I'm praising God. Amen. 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 I don't get ideas from God watching the football game. I don't get no major insight revelation from God watching the ball game. I enjoy the ball game. But I'm saying to you that there's some things in life that are foundational, and the rest of the stuff you just do. You got that? Again, you reconnect with your foundation when you give thanks. Next point here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Here it is. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, we hear some bad news, some difficult news from last week. A family has experienced loss, and we hear this many times in a year. We get information, right? That's hard to hear. Hurt your heart, hurt your mind to think about it. But here is the instruction. And for foundational people, we yet give thanks. Because the Apostle Paul went through stuff, y'all. He knew wherever he spoke. But so when he says, pray without ceasing, it meant that you don't stop praying when things get hard. You don't stop praying when it doesn't make sense. You don't stop praying. We don't feel like praying. He says, in everything, give thanks. We always know that. We know it means. It doesn't mean we thank God for everything. We don't thank God for trouble and heartbreak and death. But in the midst of it, in everything, we give thanks. And, you know it's real to you when you can do it. When it's hard to do. Amen. You know it's real to you when you give God thanks because you've already trained yourself. You're in the habit. You just give thanks no matter what. Say, Lord, thank you. Amen. You may not be enthusiastic when you say it because, frankly, sometimes you don't feel that way. But thanksgiving isn't about a feeling. What did I say?
Thanksgiving isn't about a feeling.
No, it's not. If you... How would life look if we waited for a feeling to do something? You wouldn't even have a job. Because you wouldn't want to go to it, you know, on some days. And they call and tell you, hey, that's all right, don't come no more, you know. So you don't wait for a feeling to do your job. Sometimes you just don't want to do things. But but maturity dictates, but more than that, because you are a person who gives thanks. You are connected to foundation. You're a foundational person. Say, I'm a foundational person. I'm foundational. And so when I give thanks to God, I have happy times and I get joyous. I have joyous occasions. Just get giddy and happy. Oh, yes, thank you. But sometimes, like, tears are just running, man. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes it's not giddy. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, but it's the right thing to do. Now, he says, again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's strong, isn't it? The will of God. It's the will of God to give thanks in everything. Now, again, this word everything is a pretty important word, because if something touches everything, then you better pay attention to it and handle it. For example, you know, health touches everything, right? You know, your health is more important than how much money you got, kind of car you drive, how many people you know. So in everything give thanks. Think about that. There are some things like that touch everything, like health. Another thought I had was, you know, finance touches everything. If we don't, you know, pay attention to finance, not just making money, but managing what we have. And having some savings and investments, and you know what I'm talking about? Because, you know, we give thanks in everything, but there are some things that touch everything else. And so out of all your thanksgiving, pay attention to the things that touch everything in your life. And so that your health, your finance, your thought life, how you think, touches everything. How you walk with God, obviously. So this thought came to me as I was preparing the message to help you to think about when it says in everything give thanks. We know that everything includes, you know, the car, the cat, the dog, the roof, the leaves on the ground. But there are some everything stuff that touches everything. Some things touch everything. And so we're talking about giving God thanks. Then you all focus prayer and thanksgiving on things that touch everything else, so that you'll be able to have the grace of God to manage it, to be aware of it, to be sensitive to it. Amen, somebody? Amen. Hope that makes sense. Kind of a strange point to make, but it just came to me, so I just shared it with you just then. Now, we thank God. When you thank God for someone or for something, you recognize the connection. So in your prayer time, your time of giving thanks, when you call people's name, thank God for so-and-so, thank God for my family, children, whoever you mention, then that just reveals the connection you have with them. You know what I'm saying? And you thank God for, you know, the things you're responsible for, your, you know, the staff you work with, you know, I mean, your health, again, finance, whatever you mention, whoever you mention, in your prayers, in your thanksgiving, that just reveals where your connections are. So it's more than just saying the words, thank you. It's putting your heart and your mind around people and around the things that are important to you. Because you know what it is, you cannot manage everything that goes on around you. You can't read every magazine, every book. You can't watch everything on TV. You can't even go out with everybody who asks you to go with. You have to know where are you connected. Say, where am I connected? Yeah. And for a lack of understanding connections and foundations, people get really disoriented in their lives. They get confused. They lose their way because they got their hands on too much stuff. Got the mind on too much. Now, one thing about getting older that's kind of a blessing, uh-huh. Not much is a blessing getting older. Only a few things are a blessing getting older. Uh-huh. But one of the blessings is because you have less energy, you got less time for some stuff. Amen, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Back when I did them 12-hour days, I had all kind of time. Now I'm down to, you know, 7-8-hour days with a nap in the middle sometime. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm doing my best work. I've never done more. I've never done better in my whole life. But it's just that I don't try to do everything anymore. Amen. Not that I ever did, but I stopped entertaining things that I know that ain't going nowhere. I make an analysis, nope, that ain't going nowhere. I make a quick duck, nope. Yes, no. I'm not sure, I pray about it. So because the thing is, when you're in a lifestyle of thanksgiving, you connect to the foundation, then you soon realize to really be effective, to be really good at stuff, you got to focus on the things that God wants you to focus on. Amen? Without brushing people off, don't give the impression I'm a big shot. Don't do that. But the thing is, you have to humbly say no to things. Because you just can't do it. It's not, you don't have the capacity. You can say yes. Say yes to it and try to do it. Watch what happens. You're going to be miserable. You lose energy. You lose focus. And they'll tell you, why did you come over here for? Why did you come over here for? Why did you say you could do this? I just wanted to help. So that want to help spirit is a good little thing. But when you're in a lifestyle of thanksgiving and foundations, you're like, I'd like to, but I just can't do that. Spirit is willing. I'm willing, just can't do it. And that is, to me, I'm telling y'all, that's become an important issue because I want to help everybody and do everything I see needs to be done. I have a green light kind of a mentality. Go, yeah, do it, boy, go do it. And then, but I got to stop, hold on now. Should I? And thanksgiving, it's amazing. When you're giving thanks, you're connected with the foundation and you become aware of the things and the people with whom you're connected. And it helps you to narrow your priority and be really good, really good on the things you're doing. Amen? A lack of giving thanks creates problems and blind spots. Romans 1:21. I read this every year, I think, about this time. It's a foundational text. The Apostle Paul said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, as Christ followers, you may not want to do some things. You may not want to believe a certain way, but it's too late now to say, I don't want to do that, because you already said, Christ Jesus is my Lord. You already said, I'm a follower of Christ. You already said, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. In other words, once you make the commitment, then you're at the higher standard. So for us, once we're in the kingdom, we're in Christ, he says, for although they knew God, watch this, they did not glorify him as God. That's a real bad condition, y'all. Don't find yourself being so mad at somebody. A person told me one time, he said, Pastor, I'm mad at God. Well, you stand over there. Wait from me. We'll talk from a distance. You know what I'm saying? I ain't around no God. I'm mad at God, people. I ain't got no time for that. I can't ride in your car, and I won't go in your house, and nothing like that. Because that is actually dangerous. You make yourself dangerous to yourself and everybody with you. So because mad at God, what did God do to you? Now, people say it in jest. I say what I said in jest, too. But I'm making a point, though. God is not your problem. All your problems are on the earth. All your problems are on earth and not in heaven. And most of your problems are standing right where you're standing. Most of your problems were in your shoes. I'm mad at God. Give me a break. Be mad at yourself. And so, but then that condition, see, that thinking leads to this thought where they know him, but won't glorify him. Neither were thankful. What happened? It says this. They became futile in their thoughts. Futile means empty. Nothingness. Emptiness. And so when people who claim to know God don't glorify him as God, their thinking gets all messed up. Their actions, what they say, what you hear them say, it reveals, okay, yeah, they've gone that way. Now, they're not lost forever, I'm saying, but they are lost for now. He says, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, hear me. You really can't do a lot for a person who rejects God, except you pray for them. You share the word. You may have a prophetic word. You may, you know, do something. You may drop a seed on them, encouraging word, all that. You can do all that. But you can't change them. They might change you, but you won't change them. So then it's a condition that we have to really encourage for, hey, look now, you better get back with God, because he was never your problem. The people you blame are not your problem. We want to help them reconnect with their foundation. You got that? Number two. Well, I got to go now. Number two. The second reason, the second good thing that happens when we give thanks is giving thanks keeps your life clear of anxiety, worry, and sin traps. Say, giving thanks keeps my life clear from anxiety, worry, and sin traps. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxious means to kind of worry about stuff, have a feeling of apprehension. But then you don't have to be anxious if you pray and ask God. Supplication means a specific request. It's not that you even have to get the answer to it. Just do it. You know, what helps you isn't just that you get the answer to the prayer when you pray. No, it's the actual, you pray, you give it to God, you give thanks to God while you're asking him for that. And that's the thing that helps you be anxious for nothing. Because while you're praying, you really can't worry. Amen. You really can't do both. Make a choice. You're going to worry or you're going to pray. What are you going to do? Because you really can't do both. You may go back and forth a little bit, but just keep going back over to the prayer side. Amen. You know, some of us are worried. I'm kind of a worrier. You know, I am. I worry about things a little bit. I got a lot on my mind. And I'm a rational person. I believe in being realistic. And realistic folk, man, you see what can go wrong over there. I see it clearly. But then you don't stay there. Once you assess it, it's okay, Lord, there it is. And take that scenario to God. Say, God, this don't look good. God said, I know. I already knew that. I'm glad you told me. I'm glad you see it. I'm glad you know that I know. And that's enough sometimes. That actually is enough. Even before any answers come. If I know God sees it, like I see it, he sees more than I see, then if I have asked him to help me with it, man, what more can I do? What better can I do? With a worse situation, it's say, God, this situation is really bad, really rough, it's hard. God says, I know, and I got it, and I got you. All right. Amen, somebody? Amen. Thanksgiving helps you arrive to that place. Next point, thanksgiving helps keep your life, again, clear of anxiety, worry, and sin traps. Ephesians 5, I won't read all this, but it says, beginning, be imitators of God as dear children. It is follow God, imitate him, do what he would have you to do, and walk in love. And then it says in verse 4, it says what to not get into. Well, I'll read it. Amen, I'll read it. Man, I can't rush through this one. And walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather doing what? Amen. Now listen, y'all, we're fun-loving people. And, you know, we like to have fun and joke, and there's a good spirit of that. We enjoy that, you know. I mean, black folk are funny. You notice that? We are funny. We are really funny. And we like to make fun. I mean, even serious people have a funny side. And it's just great to be around folk like that. But then again, we always know not to cross the line. We don't go but so far with that. Amen. Because there's a real thin line, you know, between having fun and joking and then going over into coarse jesting. Coarse jesting. Foolish talking. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to, you know, I can't judge it except to say that you know when you're getting into it. You know when you cross the line. And it's time to start giving God some thanks. You know, sometimes you pull yourself out of a situation by just giving God thanks. You see yourself sliding, you know, and falling down a little bit, and you can just interrupt that and just begin to praise God. Praise God. Because, you know, we want to enjoy life. Life is for living, y'all. Amen. But also there's a part of us that's always foundational. And when you give God thanks, you're connected to the foundation and you're reminded of who you are. And so you just cut some things short. Or don't let something start. Because you want to be a person who your life is clear from anxiety, worry, and sin traps. I'll leave it at that. Giving thanks is one of the characteristics of walking in the light. Ephesians 5:13 says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." There's a sense where people are sleepwalking. That is, they say they know God, but because of a lack of thanksgiving and loss of connection to foundation, they're basically asleep. That is, they aren't aware of the things of God. But there's a time to wake up, y'all, and be aware and be real and arise from the dead, not just dead physically, but just from a deadness of your spiritual life. You know, sometimes you sense it. You see it coming sometime. And so you just, okay, Lord, thank you. And because you're a person of thanksgiving, you know, you're aware. You're aware of the zones into which you should not tread. Or you're aware, I'm already in there. Let me get out of it. Let me back up out of here. One of the best things you can do in your life sometime is to say, I gotta go. Just up and say, I got to go. I got to go. You know, because this just situation is getting out of control. You know what I'm saying? It's just getting squirrely, you know. It's getting weird. And you're in it. And you can leave it. You can just leave it. Get off the phone, leave the meeting. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it's not going where you need to go. But just sometimes, just withdraw yourself. Because it's more important to you to walk in the light, to entertain somebody's darkness. The third good thing that happens when you give thanks is, giving thanks is the container that allows you to receive and hold blessings, benefits, and responsibilities. Say, Lord, thank you. Giving thanks allows me to receive, hold blessings, benefits, and responsibilities. Yeah, like a container, you know. That it's just like a thought I had of, you know, man, we all use containers to hold stuff, all kind of stuff. And so we have these containers, we put things in containers, we want to know where they are, and they want to, you know, have them someplace we can get to them. But we are containers as well. Your mind is a container. Your life is a container. But as people of thanksgiving to God, God sees that you're willing to be a vessel. As the Bible says, you know, fit for the master's use. And God really knows who to give stuff to and who not to give stuff to. Now, God always gives love. Now, love is not a condition. God loves everybody all the time. But some things God won't entrust you with. Just like there are things you want to trust some people with in your own life. There are some people you would never give the keys of your car to. Even if they ask, nope. I'll get you an Uber. I'll call an Uber for you. All right, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. God, you know what? God's not kidding either, okay? Because, next point. I got a reason for saying this. Next point. Well, here it is. People who are not thankful don't receive more of what they don't appreciate. Say that. People who are not thankful don't receive more of what they don't appreciate. If I don't show appreciation to what God is giving me, He doesn't give more of it until I get my heart and mind right. He loves me now. Love isn't the issue here. But God is paying attention to our level of worship and devotion to Him, manifest by thanksgiving toward Him. And so people who are not thankful don't receive more, because there's no reason to give them more. Let's skip ahead to the next slide for a moment and come back to the previous slide. Watch this. All right, Ephesians 5:15 says this. See then that you walk circumspectly, say circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. All right, now let's go back to the previous slide. This word, circumspect. Thankful people are circumspect. Circumspect is a word that means the sense of what is exactly, accurately, diligently, not deviating from duty. So, for example, you know, if you're circumspect, well, obviously, let's say a person who drives a truck or drives a bus, they're circumspect. Obviously, they're very aware of the passengers, of the traffic patterns, of the people waiting to board the bus. Obviously, you know, people who are, Nurse Ingram, circumspect, you know. When she sees a student or anybody needing some nursing care, she's aware of a lot of different things. I mean, she's aware of everything. Anybody who's good at something, they're circumspect where it concerns. Elder Owens with the Power and Light Company and dealing with all that voltage and all that. You got to be highly circumspect, you know. And so, but the point to the text is, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. And he goes on but then he says, verse 20, next slide again, Ephesians 5:20. Then he says this, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, that's the whole context. So people who are circumspect, people who are walking accurately and exactly and diligently, I mean, the best they can, they are people, it's connected to giving thanks always for all things. So if you're a person given to thanking God, you are going to be more circumspect. You'll be more aware. You're going to be... You won't deviate like people who don't give God thanks. You see it? There's a connection there. It's all through Scripture. Giving thanks, again, is a container. Next point here. So peace and thanksgiving follow a holy lifestyle. Colossians chapter 3. You can read all that from verse 8 through 13. I'll pick up at verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be what? Thankful. Again, giving thanks is connected to so many things. In this case, it's connected to walking in love. It's connected to peace ruling in your heart. It's connected to being called into one body. So that's why we say, boy, you know, and you find yourself, don't you, during the daytime, just saying, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, thank you. I mean, you thank him for things that didn't go wrong, amen, for things that go right. You thank him for some good outcome in your life or in your work. You notice that? How often you say thank you? How often you say thank you? How often it comes up in your life? Because it's foundational. And folk will hear you saying thank you. I don't know what you're talking about. Would you say that? I just, well, you know, I wasn't trying to be heard. You know what I'm saying? It just came out like that. You know, I'm not trying to make a scene here. This is what's in me now. You know what I'm saying? And then of course, if you get rescued from something, you lose it. You just go ahead and cut the rug and just run around the room. You don't even care what people think about it. You don't even care sometimes what you look like. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't let anything get between us and our foundation. Our foundation is Jesus Christ, okay? And all that thanksgiving is connected back to all the good things God's done for us. And that's the one thing that never changes in your life. Stuff come and go, people come and go, but God's goodness to you and for you never changes. Number four, giving thanks puts you in a position to allow God to transform every weakness into a strength. So giving thanks puts me in position to allow God to transform every weakness into a strength. Apostle Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. I just knew a lot. He had a lot, you know this. So because he knew so much and had so much revealed to him, God allowed a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. What was it? I don't know. But the point is this, lest I be exalted above measure. And, you know, well, God knows us. He knows what it takes to keep us from being exalted in our own mind. Now, people try to do it to you. They think you're exalted. Forget them. Just stay connected with God. Amen. He said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. See, Paul didn't want to feel that way. Verse 9, but he said to me, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what he heard God say to him. So in his weakness, in the thing God let him go through, that we don't know exactly what it was, because you got your own thing to be worried about. You got your own weakness. Don't worry about Paul, don't worry about me. You got your own situation, amen? But he said the point was, whatever that is, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul said, okay, I got it. Thank you, Lord. Then most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. Then he said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. This is crazy talk now. See, because I know that this weakness gets transformed to strength, then I'm going to embrace the weakness because it's going to become strength. I embrace it because the weakness is going to become strength. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For, say this part with me, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Say it. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One more time. For when I am weak, I am strong. And this is I won't say it's deep, but it's something that only mature Christians can get a hold to. You get to a point in your life where you have so many problems to deal with, and you're facing so many challenges, and you face so many, you've been through so much that you figured out, you just figured out, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fighting a weakness. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you are a weak person. We're talking about a weak situation. But whatever it is in your life, because you're a person of thanksgiving and connected to foundation and know who you are in Christ, when the weakness shows up, you say, okay, there it is. And it gets transformed into strength. That's the best I can say. And there's testimonies you can give. I can give. No time for that. But it's not magic. It isn't. But it's that when the weakness shows up, you know, and God allows it, and you deal with it and process it, and you see how it makes you. You see what it does to you. Then you say, no. This can't stay here. No. This needs to change. You know how it is. Sometimes big decisions in life, sometimes, you know, we don't change until we have to change. We don't change until we are forced to change. But it's so good to get to a point where I don't have to be forced to change. I don't have to be made to suffer to change. I embrace that weakness. Yeah, I own it. I own the whole thing. I own it, and I give it to God. Now, God, send me the help I need, and He always does. It's hard to explain. But it's a principle in Scripture. That's why Paul said, okay, I'll take pleasure in this stuff. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Last point. Giving thanks draws you closer to God and closer to covenant relationships. Say, giving thanks draws me closer to God and closer to covenant relationships. Psalm 35, verse 18 says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many peoples. See, this life we have as following Christ, we aren't just islands into ourselves. We have our personal life with God. We know this. But more than that, we are always connected to a body, to a family of believers, both local church and universal church. And so we give thanks in the great assembly. We give God thanks, and doing that connects us and draws us closer to God and closer to people. The whole pandemic, the worst thing in the pandemic, besides people suffering and dying from it, was not being around people, for me. That was the worst part, is not being able to be in church with people, going places with people always. Now we're getting past that somewhat, but that's because, we're wired to be together. And so this text here reminds us that we give thanks in the great assembly and we praise God among the people. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, thank you today for reminding us of this great privilege we have of giving you thanks and having a holiday in our country called Thanksgiving, which is used for many things. But for us, Lord, it's an opportunity. It's a reminder, Lord, that we give thanks to you because we're connected, Lord, to foundation.